Hey.
Hi.
Is that?
That was pretty. That was pretty pumped up.
I know. It was a little too pumped up. How's it going, everybody? It's been a while. Almost a year.
Yes, almost.
And somebody at work was like, "Why aren't you doing the podcast?" And
oh, so, really?
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you about it in a second. Okay. You're working on a cocktail right now for us. What are you working on?
I am working on a Laura Palmer.
Okay. So we had a whole conversation about this, and you know, we have many super fans of the show, obviously, and we cannot find an episode where we drank a Laura Palmer. This is one of our favorite cocktails that I think we've been making as a couple. I mean, you usually make them, but what, like 6 years, 7 years, like long before this podcast, and it's one that we always make for people when they're coming over.
Right.
It's a classic, and
well, it's not a
no, it's a classic for us, not a cocktail classic. And yeah, like, I don't think we actually did an episode. And so I actually was looking through, and I mean, I'm not going to give away the names yet, but there's a bunch of other cocktails that, like, we drink on the regular that I think we were just trying to be clever early on and kind of missed some of our basics. So,
yeah. And it's actually a funny story behind this one. Because there is a bar in San Francisco on Market Street called Blackbird. And it's kind of in the church and market area.
Yeah, Castro. Or what's it called? Like Upper Church?
Upper Market. Upper Market,
name.
Lower Castro.
Yeah.
And they do really great cocktails. And they often have themes. They had a Game of Thrones menu, which was really cool. Anyway, I had this one a couple of times and thought it was so good. I asked the bartender for the recipe. And he kindly gave me the recipe.
And the reason it has its name, so Laura Palmer, for fans of, oh my gosh, I'm totally blanking, what's the name of that?
Twin Peaks.
I was going to be like Fire Walk With Me, which was the name of the movie based off Twin Peaks, but that is wrong. Because I saw the movie first before the TV show, so it's just always going to be Fire Walk With Me to me. So the cocktail is, Michael's stirring it right now. We got these new, for two drunks, we got like mega sized beakers, so you can make like multiple cocktails at once.
Yeah.
Or as we call it, one serving. And yeah, so it's a stirred cocktail. It's kind of got a clear thing. Mike will go through the ingredients in a second. But what makes it a Laura Palmer, if you remember at the beginning of the show, Twin Peaks, is Laura Palmer, high school sweetheart, innocent girl, or is she, her body's found at the bottom of a lake.
Is it a lake or is it a river?
It's on the shore of a lake. Yeah, okay. It's a lake. And so this cocktail has kind of got like murky. Well, it's not murky, it's clear. It's like yellowy color. It looks like a martini, it's up. But you put a maraschino cherry just in the bottom of it. It's not maraschino. These kind of maraschino? These are the dark ones.
Luxardo
cherry, sorry. Maraschinos are this gross, like, electric.
Right.
Red ones that I don't know why anybody wants. So this is like a dark kind of thing. Michael will post this on our Insta feed. Do we have an Insta feed for this?
No, but I can post it on Twitter.
An Instacart? Do we have one? Okay, we'll check Michael's Twitter for... actually, can you post the recipe along too?
Yes, yeah, I can actually.
Yeah, because this is a great cocktail. It only requires two or three ingredients that you should probably keep around your house anyway.
That's true.
And we're going to cheers.
We Cheers.
Suck the water out of this lake. Drain the lake. Michael, we're part of a search and rescue effort. Isn't that fun?
So, it's kind of a variation on a martini, essentially. And that means it's got gin and a kind of fortified wine. And this is a botanivore gin. So you find a very herbal gin. Botanivore is from San Francisco, from Alameda.
St. George's.
St. George Botanivore. And then it's got Lillet Blanc, so that's like the fortified wine. And then...
Like a vermouth is a fortified wine.
Yeah. Vermouth,
but it's a little sweeter.
Yeah. It's more like, I think there's also white vermouth is comparable. And then Benedictine, which is a very sweet herbal liqueur. It tastes very nice, very
so
refreshing.
It's so good.
It's got like the gin lends it a very... It's piney.
Yeah, it does have like a pine, a sweet. I know it's a weird way to describe it.
Yeah.
It also tastes like a beautiful high school girl whose life was cut short, and only the mysteries of a small town and a delicious slice of pie can solve it.
It's funny because the kind of pininess also, you know, brings up the logging and the...
It's true, actually.
Washington or whatever. Is it in Washington?
Yeah.
It's across the border from something. Canada? No.
I mean, obviously it's shot in Vancouver because everything's shot in Vancouver. Okay, so to give a quick life update, because I'm sure we did the last... We've only done a couple episodes since we've been here, and I'm sure we have. But the majority of our episodes up to this point, we're all in San Francisco. But we live in New York now. We've been here for 2 years, which probably shows how many episodes we haven't done in the last 2 years. We bought a place near Chelsea, kind of near Union Square. We work at Rent the Runway, but none of our views here are the views of our employers.
Obviously.
But I think we share most views, so like...
That's true.
But this is not an official communique. Our company became a $1 billion company recently.
A unicorn.
And
one of the very few, I think there's maybe 14, 15, founded by women.
Like, that's not just tech.
Right.
Just to be clear, that's like, a woman made an oil company and it passed $1 billion, you're a unicorn. Like, I think the unicorns we think of are like...
Uber.
Like
Airbnb.
Which are a little different, actually, because I think that list... Jen doesn't take enough credit. We should have on here, I'm sure.
Yeah.
She bugged. Get drunk and talk loosely on a shitty podcast.
Also, it's extra amazing because she's 8-9 months pregnant, I think, as well.
Mm-hmm.
I can't even imagine.
She's raised like 125 million. I don't know. Anyhow, she's awesome to work for. We're having a great time. Working our butts off. Doing a ton of stuff all at once. Oh yeah, I work on warehouse stuff now. Or technology, but for warehouses, which before this wasn't really anything I'd gotten involved in, but apparently I've got a knack for it and work with some great people.
Yeah.
So our life is basically work. We don't work late though. Leave relatively on time, but usually you have to go out for work stuff after work. Which is the hidden thing, right? People are like, oh, I work till 10 because they're sitting there typing something. No, I work till 10 because I gotta go be nice to people. Ugh, it's the worst, Michael.
I know.
Having to be a kind, empathetic human being. That's why I'm always looking forward to the weekends where I can just be cruel to you.
in our own home. That's great. So, things that are happening right now that I've been...
Enough about us.
Well, I mean, what else is there?
I don't know. I feel like a lot of our listeners are very invested in our lives.
Yeah? We have a new... So, we've got 3 nieces and nephews now. We just had a nephew.
Yeah, it was easier when it was just nieces. You could just say nieces. Now, I'm like...
I know. Does anyone have... Tweet at us if you have, at Wham Show. If you have any, what's the group of nieces and nephews?
Nephew?
I don't know.
It's weird to gender it to me. I don't understand this.
Also, what's super interesting is the two words are very different. Etymologically, I'd say. And then, also, if I remember correctly...
Well, nephew sounds Greek. And then niece sounds like a part of
French. Yeah. I don't know
I make great jokes.
I don't think the words in French are the same either.
Tweet at us if there's a good gender neutral, because I don't want to be I'm going to go see my nieces and nephews, or nephews I have to do one plural, one singular?
Yeah,
so if they had a fourth kid, now I'm nieces and nephews? Why does this matter? There's 3 of them, and we're assigning them gender right now.
Yep.
Was the nice statement.
My favorite is the dog, though. They have a dog, Murphy, who is this adorable, wonderfully soft Labrador.
Big
Golden
dog.
Retriever? I don't know. Golden Retriever.
Is it? Yeah.
She's either a long haired
Labrador, is that a thing?
Or I don't know.
What? Poking on the computer. Could you hear your voice through the headphones?
Yeah.
Sorry.
So. Yeah.
See, normal podcasts would edit that out, but here you get the reality where our headphones are giving feedback. Or headphones, sorry, as if we're in a real studio where we have 2 headphones on and we're listening. No, the headphones I have on the table because I I did spend 2 seconds making sure it sounded okay before we started. That is the level of quality you get here at Wham Show.
Yep.
It's always the best audio. Nobody's ever talking too fast, and my piercing laugh doesn't just ring in your ears on your daily commute as you tune in every day here at Wham Show.
Yeah.
Something like that. Okay, so you're going to talk about something topical.
Oh, now's the perfect
time. Now's the time.
Now we've talked about our families.
Well, I didn't...
I don't know.
I feel like I want to give people, like, you know, a peek into our lives every time before we start talking bullshit about something.
Yeah. Well, there's one thing that people... I know we have some audience members in the US, some in the UK.
Mm-hmm.
Something I've been chatting about at work, or people have asked me about, is Brexit, which... So today, or we're coming end of March, we've passed the original deadline.
It was last Friday. 15th, right?
No, I thought it was March 29th, which was last Friday.
Happy Brexit Day!
But then they delayed it to April, maybe, or May. Maybe, depending on whether the...
Maybe.
Haha.
That's a Theresa May pun.
Yeah, but it's absolutely amazing how much of an absolute... shit show it's been, and basically you should watch the John Oliver thing if you can't. The biggest problem is the border between Northern Ireland and Ireland. So Ireland is its own country, and Northern Ireland is part of the UK. A border there would be an absolute tragedy, because it was a focal point for a lot of violence. And the you know, Good Friday Agreement agreed that there would not be a border, I believe. So it's basically figuring out what to do with that. And then, as well as that, that I think is the hardest issue. Then you have people on the extremes who are just fine with what's called no deal. So you don't agree to any treaties and just leave and we'll figure it out. And then you have people who want a second referendum, because basically they think the UK or the populace has realized how much of a terrible idea it is. Or they want the government.
What polling is there?
I don't know. Actually, I think it's tricky to get a decent.
Do you think, have I talked about Theresa May on the show before? Did we start the show while we were in the UK, or is it in the US?
No, I think we're in the US.
So I'm gonna do my little Theresa May thing.
Yeah.
And like, I normally try not to speak ill of any British Prime Minister, because one day I would, depending on what happens, like to become a citizen or a subject of the UK. That would be something I'd be into. And being nice to the Prime Minister seems like either a really fast way to get there, because they can just, like, go make it happen, or a really slow way because, you know, they pulled some audio. Yeah. No, they're like blacklist. That guy. Fuck that guy. And I had a little bit of hope with David Cameron back when we were there.
I blame him for this whole thing.
Basically. Sure.
Anyway, carry.
Do you think he would disagree? He'd be like, yeah, I know.
I know, and I think history is not going to look on him favorably.
He lost the vote, and he stepped down.
So basically, the reason I blame David Cameron is he ran on a platform of, we will hold this referendum. And basically, to get himself elected, he was like, yes, we will ask the populace if we should remain in the EU. After that vote happened, he stepped down as he was campaigning to remain in the EU. So it was a campaign promise that I think he made a little bit idly.
I think he has been more in the, who's the Pontius Pilate?
Yeah.
Situation where, like, his party really wanted this. And, like, the only way to put together the votes to take power was to say that this was going to happen. It was his second run.
And then, yeah, it's, like, totally on him that his morality was...
Hey, wait. Pontius Pilate, not a hero, but it's more of a tragic figure than the, like... Sorry. If you have no idea about British politics or Christian mythology, this conversation is the most meaningless thing you've ever heard, ever. Just skip ahead, like, 10
so let's compare it to...
Jesus.
Or the what about, EU, like, is Jesus. Star Trek metaphors?
Who is the Pontius Pilate?
Who's the Pontius Pilate of Star Trek? Okay, what's a more universal metaphor?
There's not a lot of them, and it's basically the person who kind of, like... I mean, Faust is another, but it's different. It's a little different.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah, because you, like, make... But he didn't make the choice.
You're calling them scapegoats in some ways.
No. Because they... It's when you're kind of a bureaucrat, and you... Or a political agent, I guess.
Yeah.
And you skirt your own responsibility to fix it. So you didn't do the right thing.
Yeah.
You certainly didn't do the, like, moral standing up for the principles you really believe in. You made a concession to the populace that you didn't agree with. And then, in doing that, it went way worse than you thought it was going to go.
And so that's interesting because, obviously, we have this idea of politicians, the best thing you can do is represent the populace.
Yes. 100%, this is the insanity of this whole thing. Like, David Cameron, his party, there is more Brexit or more EU skeptics in the Conservative Party
right.
than the left-leaning parties. And there were enough skeptics in that group that when they did do a vote, it did actually come out on their side. Maybe some irregularities, whatever. But even if it's within 10%, there would be enough within, I can imagine, this frustration of asking over and over. I mean, they've been asking for like 20 years to have another vote on this. Maybe since the beginning. The 1970s after the original vote then. Or was it 80s? I can't remember which. There's no credit. He certainly doesn't get any positive thing. And he did not show himself to be a amazing prime minister who really... But then, like, okay, honestly, on the other side of... So we have Tony Blair. Okay, wait. We got Thatcher.
Right.
We'll just leave that there. You can go read about her. John Major, who I'm going to call a floppy appendage of a human being.
Yeah.
Who then just kind of was in power... He was in power for like 10 minutes, and...
He was the only prime minister I met.
I know, you did.
I have a picture of him. This is turning into British prime minister.
No, I am. Well, I'm giving... So, for the Americans listening, like, the
yeah.
story, because they know from '80s, Margaret Thatcher, very divisive figure, either helped or hurt the UK deeply, maybe both.
I mean,
maybe
and in a lot of ways, this mirrors the US, if you compare Thatcher to Reagan.
Sure.
A polarizing figure.
Yeah. And then John Major, she steps down because she...
I guess she's the HW.
Yeah. John Major's the HW.
Yeah. I mean, pretty
useless.
Yeah,
he's just like, he sat there.
Yeah.
And probably did horrific things to her, but I'm not even talking about that.
Right.
But he was a conservative also, so no change of power. Then Tony Blair comes along, who's like, everybody in America knows, like...
Yeah, he's Clinton.
He's a Clinton.
He's... Like, a centrist. He's a you know, Democrat or Labour in the UK, so like a left-leaning party comes in with this like across the aisle, like
more pro-business.
Yes.
Yeah,
definitely like a centrist leftist party, and like being charming and like, you know, I'm hopefully you've all seen The Queen. Michael Sheen does a great job of portraying Tony Blair. But if you do, if you are interested in watching more about this, you should definitely watch The Deal, which was the prequel to The Queen, The Queen being the Helen Mirren Oscar-winning film. But basically him, Tony Blair, and this other guy called Gordon Brown set up this deal that Tony Blair would have the prime ministership for, you know, however many years, and then Gordon Brown would take over and they'd switch. And basically, like, Gordon Brown was essentially the VP in this scenario. And they agreed that after a certain amount of time, they would switch. And Tony Blair did not.
Mm-hmm.
Which is very interesting.
But then, he did finally
step
down. Let Gordon step into the role. And he was a floppy appendage for, like, 6 months. It wasn't long. Maybe a year and a half.
Yeah, a couple of years, maybe.
But it's just like non-notable. Like, I mean, that's when I moved to the UK, and like, he was a person who gave speeches, and that's what he did.
He has a Scottish accent. Sorry, that is to say, he is Scottish. Not that he just like...
Is he like the first Scottish PM?
No, I don't know, actually.
Yeah.
Maybe? Anyway.
Well, not the first one to own property.
Oh, right.
Title. Because of a 14th century, whatever. So he's in, and then like they call an election because everybody's like, yeah, this isn't going hot. And then David Cameron comes in, who I consider a moderately okay Republican. Sorry, conservative.
Wait, like, the first time he had to form a coalition.
He did. He formed a coalition the first time, which is like a thing where you make a deal with a very, at the time-ish, left-leaning group. And they were kind of trying to modernize, maybe, and find like a middle ground between conservatism and liberalism, which I really appreciated what they were trying. Did not go well for the people who formed the coalition. That party is now dead. Well, we're really getting a lot of details here. But Cameron, who's a perfectly serviceable, a little more interesting than Gordon Brown, just did a solidish job. Like, nothing exploded, well, till the end. Not gonna last. Didn't agree with politics, like, but wasn't making huge moves. Like, maybe undermining the NHS slowly sort of stuff. But nothing, like, no Thatcher-esque, like, big. It was the Tony Blair version for a conservative. Like, you're like, well, yeah. You know.
I mean, I believe right. They passed gay marriage in the UK.
Yeah, very supportive of that stuff. They were pro-environmental change, signing the Paris Accords.
Yeah.
Now, the worst part of the Cameron government was he had a home secretary at the time. Which is basically like your, well, head of Homeland Security in the U.S. And a home secretary is like immigration, border control.
Like police.
Police.
Making sure the country's safe.
Yeah, interior secretary too maybe here. Like parks and stuff. Like anything about like managing the day-to-day of being a country with a border, the home secretary does. And he had the worst one. This home secretary would say terribly racist things, said so many anti-gay things that you can't even start, anti-Muslim things. And if you haven't figured out, it was Theresa May was his home secretary. Mm-hmm. And actually, she was shadow home secretary under Gordon Brown. And I hated her because she would say horrible things about, when we first got married, actually we got civil partnered.
Yep.
At first because marriage wasn't a thing there, and like she was trying to like undermine the whole thing, and it's even like the first vows we said in a legal context were actually written by her department, and they were so bad that I laughed during my future father-in-law, who luckily he doesn't hate me now, like literally Michael and I and him, because he's our witness, like sitting in this like sad little office, just like a regular office, like imagine the office, and you're just in this sad little room, and it's just got like pictures of their kids or whatever, and this guy's like having us repeat stuff, and it was so terribly worded, the Mr. and husband. It like, nobody had rewritten anything except for to just throw in a couple of words and then make it very clear that this wasn't marriage. And, man, we should look up what the text was, because I was, like, giggling during it, and my father-in-law, who I had just met recently, and, like, his son's getting married to this guy who's laughing during the legal vows, but it was Theresa May! Anyhow, so Cameron makes a decision to the Brexit vote. It doesn't go the way he thought, and he stepped down. So now Theresa May is prime minister, and she's just going to make us all... She's in, like, the mode of the nanny who is going to make sure you swallow your medicine. No, you said you wanted this. Kid's like, I want 6 pizzas. And you're like, all right, you're eating all of them. And then the kid starts vomiting, and it's like, you're going to eat the pizza. That's my...
Yeah.
Okay, Michael. Michael's done with my... Now you're caught up.
Yeah.
With...
I know, and it's just terrible. And I don't think, as much as I hate to admit it, I don't think Theresa May, I feel a little bit bad for her in that she doesn't have any options. The Pontius Pilate. I blame David Cameron way more.
No, but she...
She was handed something. David Cameron made the choice, and you cannot say he did not make the choice.
No, she's the guard after Pontius Pilate, who's like... Well, we're doing this thing. Like, all these people are like, no, actually, we changed our mind. And they're like, no, I'm going to whip you now. Come on. No, they voted. Like, we're doing this. No, it's like, it's way... She doesn't even want it the way she's doing it. She's like been kind of like, she wasn't Remain, or she hasn't really said.
Well, the problem is, she was Remain.
Oh, great. So now she's like, well, you voted, so here's what you're getting, idiots.
But, like, yeah, it's just...
She was a Remainer?
Yeah.
So then why...
I don't know. I mean, that's what I'm saying. It's like so bizarre. And the people who voted to leave are just like not popular and not, yeah.
You're still in power and, enough.
Well, yeah, I guess.
Anyhow, so your home country may or may not be a country.
Yeah.
So, or a kingdom.
I think pretty soon, if this goes through, I still, like, it's so bizarre to say, I don't even know what's going to happen to my country in a month. Or I don't know what my country is going to look like in a month. Both of them. Right. I mean, the US is bad. I don't know if it's, like, on the verge of breaking up in a month, per se.
Not as directly.
Right.
Like, very literally, Scotland and Wales and Northern Ireland could separate, like,
pretty rapidly. I think they should, which sucks, right? Like, when the Scottish independence vote happened, I was like, no, I think you should stay with the UK. And now after Brexit stuff, I'm like, nah, you should have left, to be honest. Like,
but this is where it's, okay.
And I think you should leave right now and join the
Is where the context is different. If Scotland is remaining with the rest of the UK and remaining with the EU, we're saying that there are more complicated, stronger bonds between all of these countries. Like, the UK being a badly set
it's
up,
a different
but a super friendship party. Except, obviously, it doesn't exactly work that way. And, anyway. But then, like, when the UK says we're leaving the larger world, larger community we're in.
Right.
Then it's funny, it really shifts the whole perspective, because you're like, Scotland actually will leave so that they can remain.
Yes.
Like,
yes.
That's a weird, like,
and so
the only way to remain part of the EU is to leave.
And when the Brexit vote first happened, Scotland, like, basically, Salmon, who's kind of like the head of the parliament in Scotland, or ran for whatever, she was like, okay, we need to have a second, like, Scottish independence vote. And the ruling was that it has to wait till after Brexit has happened. So I can see that in the next year being put back to a referendum in Scotland.
I mean,
I think Northern Ireland.
Unless they remain.
And this is what's so weird. Like, even that's on the table right now. Even, like, just cancelling the whole process, having a second referendum, leaving without a deal. All these things are totally possible, and,
like, how, like, regardless of what happened, how weak, and I don't mean, like, via willpower or some sort of thing, but, like, how messed up does it make the UK look that, like, at this point to remain? Like, okay.
If after going through this whole process, we then decide to remain.
Yeah, it's like,
okay, I'd say that's like in history, and I like to think broadly. Like,
yeah, of course.
We
I'm
like
thinking
to,
in history.
I think
yeah,
we
yeah.
both think of ourselves yeah. as people who like to think about impact.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think not being a straight couple, we can't, or we don't have kids as easily. Obviously, gay couples can have kids.
We keep trying.
But like, our history is I like to think of my history quite broadly. And I think, yeah, like, I would like to think it would be an embarrassment, but like anything, it could be a blip.
Yeah, but like, how would it set up the people who voted to leave? A little bit of a protest vote, a little bit of whatever, maybe misinformed, right? Like, whatever. What changes about their view in this whole thing? Do they feel more heard? Or less? And I think the answer is less. And I'm not saying that you should do it because of that, but the answer has to be less. And then the UK has been the country on the edge of Europe, sort of, both not a founding member, but like one of the biggest members and
yeah.
most votes.
Economies, yeah.
Well, and votes.
Yeah.
But been like, we don't want the same currency. We don't.
Yeah.
Like, the core sickness that has been the UK's view of itself. I mean, come on, four countries in one, what is that? And like,
yeah.
one of the four countries isn't even a country. It's on the edge of, like, clearly it's part of a different country.
Yeah.
Yeah, see, this is where I'm going to lose my citizenship.
Yeah.
Northern Ireland, it should be part of Ireland. Sorry. I just said that. Well, it's fine. Palestine should be independent. Done. If we lost listeners, you leave. Are we done?
I can't.
Do we just lose all of our?
Yeah, maybe.
Do we just?
Maybe no one's listening.
All of our Israeli hawks and our Northern Irish. But like, okay,
unionists.
Unionists. Sorry, that's.
Unionist is the word for someone who believes that Northern Ireland should be part of the UK.
But how about we just, like, get rid of the UK part, all of these countries...
No, wait, sorry, unionist... Oh, shit. No, unionist is... Oh, my gosh.
I don't know who the union is.
Wait, there's loyalist. Yeah, sorry, it's the opposite. Loyalist is loyal to the UK. Unionist is there should be a...
Singular.
A singular country called Ireland.
Well, there could be two, but like...
Two, like... You
two
know, like,
Irish countries.
Yeah, like...
That's fine. East. Make a second decision about whether or not you like, two want to, like, get together.
Sudan and South Sudan.
Yeah, like, that's fine. You don't have to not be northern or have a different identity. If it just all gets back to the idea of countries, is kind of stupid, but...
Yep.
Or...
Okay, I now have to look up... What,
yeah, please
actually
do.
Unionist, because I feel terrible that I don't actually. Okay, whatever. Please.
Yeah, now I'm spending a lot of my next year in Ireland, so this is really gonna be fun. Yeah. Now I realize. Should we just edit this out?
Probably.
The answer is no, Michael. We do not edit. We do not edit. You come here for real talk. We talk about real things together.
No, I think loyalist is the people who love the Queen. I'm pretty sure.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Well, wait, okay. So we've been spending a lot of time in Ireland. I'm just going to talk about Ireland, like the Republic, separately. So I always, as a gay guy, never felt comfortable with people from the Irish Republic. You can judge, traditionally, just being, because I knew it was a very religious country. And very hostile, traditionally, to LGBT people. Like, the Catholic Church does not... almost no churches that matter have a friendly opinion of gay people. And that's a country that was very much ruled by the church. And it made me worry that any person I was meeting, I didn't know if they'd be hostile or not. Turns out... the Republic of Ireland has changed their mind on an awful lot of things. Number one thing they've changed their mind about is the Catholic Church. They are done with it for the most part. It's insane. The abuse scandals there have rocked the foundations of their society and broken sort of the original things that were making them, I don't know, fearful or against change and listening to their local priest and all that stuff. Like, that's done. And so it's really interesting. Ireland's now a deeply secular country and their prime minister is gay. Like, or I'm sorry, it's a different name than prime minister, I know. President is a name. I don't remember it. Whatever. Their leader is gay. Like, and an immigrant or children of immigrants. Whatever.
Wait, okay, yeah. Anyway, that's... And I know they've been having a lot of laws recently that are super awesome and, like...
Well, I mean,
there was one recently about abortion that was super cool, like...
Oh, yeah, they had a vote, and they legalized abortion.
Oh, yeah, like a referendum.
They put it in their constitution.
Yeah.
It went from totally illegal to now in their constitution. That country has all my respect right now.
Yeah.
I am sorry for things that I thought they would... judge about me in the past, and I realized that I was judging them. And maybe back then, I don't think things were necessarily great.
Yeah, I think whenever you have a super religious country, especially for LGBT folks, you need to
be wary.
Yeah, and like, sorry, both of the countries we are from and have adopted as our homes are like that in some ways. There are certain areas I don't feel comfortable traveling to in the US and in the UK also. Like,
but it's I find Ireland the Republic so fascinating now, just because the seismic shift. Like in the U.S., like I think for there's been a big shift after the abuse scandals in the Catholic Church about just Catholics, but they were, you know, I mean, what, 15-20% something like that. Like it's a depending on your area, maybe 70%, but like not like the country was sort of controlled by the church for a long time. And then when that group breaks and you're kind of left as a country to figure out what do you really believe in, and like they've made a very clear stance that they welcome other people to their country and like welcome people different than them, and like I am so sorry for anything I thought before that.
No, it's super awesome that in a, you know, you hear a lot of news stories about how the right wing's on the rise and like nationalism's on the rise and like all this kind of like anti-immigration stuff is on the rise, and it is really nice to see there's like a couple of pockets of democracy that are not following that path.
Yeah, well, I mean, and historically, like if you look at the Northern Ireland versus Republic thing, the stereotype I had as American growing up was the Republic very undereducated, very religious oriented. The North, way more pragmatic, business-oriented. And what's happened is this has shifted entirely.
Yeah.
So the Republic of Ireland has a gay leader. Michael, in the UK, is gay marriage legal? Yes or no?
Yes.
Not in Northern Ireland.
Oh.
Yeah, no, it's not legal
still
in Northern Ireland. Still not legal in Northern Ireland. Northern Ireland, gay marriage is legal. Illegal, sorry. It is insane. The thing that kind of, in the original early, mid-20th century fight here was the more, quote-unquote...
Mid-21st century.
21st?
I don't think you mean the 1900s.
1950s.
In the early mid?
Whatever, I just...
Okay.
Early, mid, late...
Okay.
Middle century. I don't know which century, but...
Yeah.
No, it's been really interesting. Like, what's actually happened is they've been held back, even from the progressiveness of English people. Like, separate from Scottish and Welsh. Not known necessarily for their progressivism,
yeah.
Depending on the era and how you want to slice it. But,
yeah.
No, it's fascinating to me, and it's really interesting. I'm very honored to get to be involved with the Republic, because I think they're on a really good path right now, and hopefully can become a great beacon of how you can be both pro-business and like socialist and pro-people and pro-trade all at the same time. You don't have to like fight these things against each other. Well, what a casual conversation we've had.
This has been a roller coaster.
Do you remember the 10 minutes I spent explaining an American trying to explain the Prime Minister since Thatcher?
I do fondly. It was great.
The audience that's still left does too.
I'm super excited.
Any final notes after this Brexit-heavy politics, British politics?
Final notes. You should see Us, the new Jordan Peele... And I'm super excited for the new Twilight Zone. That's my wrap-up.
Here's my wrap-up. For every tweet sent to @WhamShow, WHAM show, we will do another episode.
Okay, cool. Yeah.
So, every tweet, we will spend a full, like, 40 minutes of our lives
I'm thinking we should do a... You know the Julia Childs film where Amy Adams cooks everything from that recipe book?
Amy and Amy?
I think it's called Amy and Adams.
Amy.
I don't know. Amy and Adams? That'd be a good film. So I want to do that with the cocktail book, and I think that might help.
No, I want to make them work,
okay.
Michael.
Oh, okay. Sorry.
We're not doing this for free. Okay, no, I mean, we're literally doing this for free.
Pretty much.
But if you're out there, if you hear us, if anybody's out there... Anyhow, our thousands of fans will flood us now, and we'll have to work till the end of time.
2020.
As we're wrapping up, though, I'm going to have a little bit of reality. Our listenership is crazy variable. One episode out of the blue will get, like, a lot of people listening, and then there'll be, like, one that has, like, 10. As far as my...
I think we just need
my Podbean
better retweets. That's my...
I don't use Twitter anymore. What do people use now? Can we Instagram this podcast?
TikTok, I think,
TikTok
is what...
TikTok is a thing? Can we TikTok this podcast?
I don't know. Maybe.
Can we beat Terry Gross?
On TikTok? Yes. We could beat Terry Gross on TikTok.
Oh, B.
Oh, B.
I want to beat Terry.
I could be Terry Gross on TikTok.
No, I think of it. I could beat up Terry Gross if I wanted to. I'm not trying to brag here. I'm not trying to brag here, people. On that note, quote, I could beat up Terry Gross. I'm not trying to brag here, people. I think it's time to end this episode. Good night. Bye.